thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest Democratic State Representative Jason Knight, a freshman lawmaker from Barrington. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Representative Knight, this is your first visit with us on Political Roundtable. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for the House of Representatives last year.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was complaining about our local rep at the time, and she said to me, you know, I would really appreciate it if you would run for office, if you would run for this seat and challenge this incumbent. And I thought about it. I talked to my family, and ultimately it came down for me, you know, if you are not willing to do something about it, then you can't just complain. If you're just going to complain, then you can't.
You got to be part of the solution if you want to complain about the problem.
Right. That's exactly right. So that's what I did. I talked to the family, and we decided to run. And I really told my kids, I said, you know, even if we lose, the point here is that we're going to give people a choice. And in that particular district, there hadn't been a choice in almost 20 years. And so that was the goal going out, just to give people a choice. And then we won. And I'm so thrilled to have the opportunity to serve the public in this role.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about how Governor Raimondo's proposal to offer Rhode Islanders 2 years of free college tuition faces uncertainty in the House of Representatives. That became clear after House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello used Twitter last week to accuse the governor of being tone deaf and to criticize her education proposal. The fate of the governor's plan could well come down to the votes of individual representatives like yourself, Representative Knight. So do you support or oppose the governor's free college tuition proposal?
In a perfect world, I have no problem with free tuition. But I think that in the world that we live in, the government has budgetary restraints, and there are some core missions that the government has to perform first before it does something like free tuition, particularly primary and secondary education.
$10 million, the estimated cost of the program initially, is pretty small in the context of a $9 billion state budget.
I think $10 million can go a long way in primary and secondary education and improving the schools in our state. And I think it's my opinion that a strong educational foundation in the primary and secondary years is going to be a whole lot more valuable than a couple of years tuition after high school. We need to have strong public schools, and that money is better spent in that spot.
Maureen, as Representative Knight says, there are a lot of competing priorities. Speaker Mattiello has made clear that his priority is starting a phase out of the car tax. What do you see happening with the governor's college tuition proposal?
Well, I thought there was a deal in the making, but obviously since Speaker Mattiello has begun to tweet about her tone deafness, I'm not so sure. But I really want to say, as a partisan, as a public educator, I completely disagree with you, because I wish they could call it something else besides free tuition. There are selected students who have to have high school grade requirements. They have to get into, for example, URI. Students are not going to be able to flock to URI. They have to complete their education on time in 2 years and have a certain grade point average, and then they get the benefit of the free tuition. And so it's not really free stuff. I think it's more nuanced. And for $10 million, I realize we need money for everything, but if we waited until we completed everything we needed to do in elementary and secondary education, we wouldn't be able to help students reduce debt and get through college.
Scott, the governor's people say that one of the big challenges for Rhode Island is how the workforce is undereducated, and the governor's proposal is meant to address that. Do you think there will be some kind of deal where the governor's proposal and the speaker's priority both get addressed, or not so much?
They should be. You know, I'm from the generation who went to state university practically free, and we've changed that. I don't know if it's the baby boomer greed or what it is, but we have slashed our state support of our state university here and across the country, frankly. And I think this would be a very good way to put the emphasis back on the state universities and to give students an incentive. Look, if you work hard, if you stay in school, you've got to finish your degree on time, and you've got to keep a certain grade point average. It's almost like the GI Bill. I would love to see a service component in there, too, where you spend a year maybe working for a Year Up or City Year or give back a little bit. But no, I think the state, look, we all know the way to build a middle class is through education. And every metric shows lower unemployment rates, higher earnings, all come with a college education versus those who don't have one.
Elsewhere in the news this week, President Donald Trump gave an address to a joint session of Congress. Pundits praised a more measured tone from the bombastic president, but Democratic critics say his words don't match up with his actions. What did you take away from the president's address, Maureen?
I took away from it that he had given himself a, before the press, the conference, he had given himself a C-plus for communication. I would say he gets an A. This was masterful manipulation. I think he's talked about, he's spoke to his base. He kind of co-opted the Democrats because he gave allusions to certain progressive ideas that I don't think are going to be implemented. And I really think, and then he said something like, we didn't realize how complicated healthcare was. And so I think it was brilliant because he built up his base, and I think he's boxed the Democrats in because he's speaking to the middle class, and he continues to articulate those values that matter, and it was all in there. And I think the Democrats are going to have a hard time because when things don't happen, he's going to be able to blame the Congress, and he's going to be able to blame the Democrats. And while Obama proposed a lot of this legislation, the blaming of the opposition party didn't stick the way I think Donald Trump will be able to make it stick. So I think they're in a bind.
State Rep. Jason Knight, how about Maureen's point? Do you think President Trump has boxed Democrats in?
No, I don't. I think it was a new speech, but it's the same guy. And the media needs to remember, and I think anyone who listened to the speech and thinks that he's turned over a new leaf needs to remember that we have a lifetime of public statements by this guy. And in particular, in running for president, we have 18 months to 2 years worth of statements that are all totally 180 degrees separated from his tone and tenor of the speech the other night. This is Donald Trump that we're talking about, and the Democrats should not be worried about boxed in, and they shouldn't really be worried about politics. They have a job to do within the structure of our republic to be the loyal opposition, and they should absolutely not back down. The man is unfit for office, and they need to do everything they can to make sure that his influence and reach is limited in these 4 years and that he doesn't get another four.
Scott, what did you take away from the president's address?
I thought it was more style than substance, frankly. There were no real specifics. Let's just take one little item here, health care. It's not a little item if you're one of the 20 million people on Obamacare, but he's out there saying he didn't realize how complicated it was. You know, every policy wonk, every doctor, every nurse in America knows how complicated this is, and many, many people do too, so I don't understand how people can fall for this kind of nonsense. We have seen no specifics. You want to know a politician's priorities? Look at the budget. That's what I'm looking for.
All right. We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Representative Jason Knight, a Barrington Democrat.
Thank you, everyone.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.